Hello, blind cool tech listeners. I am Riz, England's least favourite son and BCT's answer to Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm going to do a review for you on an MP3 player. Now, I'm probably not the most technically minded person in the world of BCT, and therefore, if there are any discrepancies in my description or anything else, I do apologise. I used to be, but I've lost the plot, which is something that a lot of people say I have done anyways. So, anyways, I'm rambling and I do apologise. There may be some ramblings in this, and if there are, I just apologise in advance. Now, what am I going to talk about? Well, let me give you an overview on what I'm going to discuss. I'm going to give you an introduction and a discussion about general features first. First, I'm going to give you the specifications and a technical description of this MP3 player, which I'll go into in a second. So I'm going to give you the technical specifications. Then I'm going to give you a description and try and orientate you to the device. Then I'm going to give you some general good points, bad points, and then probably summarize it in some fashion or other. Okay, so the device we're going to discuss today is the Aigo A208 MP3 player. Now, this player is quite a new product and has not been on the market for long at all. It's quite a interesting product in that when I purchased it, at quite a good price. That's the only reason that drew me to it. I wasn't really after an MP3 player, but I heard it had good recording quality. I was interested in that, and I thought, I've got the 1 GB version of this Aigo A208 MP3 player Watsama thingy, which I added myself, by the way, the Watsama thingy. Anyways, the player itself cost a decent price, so I thought, why not? It's not often you get 1 GB for about £46, which is pretty cheap, considering. 1 GB usually costs about £8 for an MP3 player. So I thought, why not? Let's give it a go. So now, here comes the technical specification, and I do apologise if there are discrepancies here, and I also need to apologise to you guys in the States for this one, because unfortunately for you guys, some of the measurements I'm going to give you here are in metric, and I don't know how to convert them into milli-inches or anything else. So, the actual unit itself is 30 millimeters high by 95 millimeters wide by 18 millimeters deep. It weighs 40 kilograms. That's battery included, not withstanding the phone or not the withstanding the, sorry, the headphones or the carrying the neck strap. Without those, it plays MP3s, WMAs, and in recording mode plays WAV files. It operates at a sampling rate between 8 kHz and 32 kHz, something like that. It plays DRM9 files, but not DRM10. And it also says that you have to use Windows Media Player version 10 or later to transfer DRM files. Now, I don't know anything about why they want you to do that or what difference it makes, because I just use MP3 files, but you know, WMA files that you can get from certain websites, the rights management protected ones, it will play those, apparently. The screen size is, in pixels, It's 128 long by 32. Whatever that means. So that's in pixels. Now, it's got it, this actual model here that I've got. You can get 128, you can get 256, 512 flash versions. This one is 1 gigabyte, and it says it uses 10 megabytes of memory for firmware and for settings and file management and things like that. Now, I don't know whether that means it includes that, and whether you actually get something like, you don't get the full 1 gig, I'm not sure, I don't know. But that's what it says anyways. Now, the unit itself comes with, excuse the sniffles there, I do have a bit of a cold. It does come with a few things. When you get the box, you will get the unit itself. You will also get the headphones. Now, they're weird headphones. They're in-ear earphones. So they're earphones, not headphones. They're in-ear, and what they do is they kind of wrap around your neck, and you put them in sideways on, not like you used to use the, I don't know if anyone else has used. How good they are, I couldn't really tell you, because I have, my ears aren't pinned back, so, you know, I don't like earphones because they put pressure on my ears and they're very uncomfortable. But I've tried them a little bit just for the purposes of this demonstration. And the quality is good. I think the quality on this thing's good anyways. The quality, I'd say, is definitely good. Now, I'm going to tell you about the menus and modes before I conclude the more technical specifications. The menus comprise of the following options. I will orient you to the device in a minute to show you where the menu button is. But this, the menu options you have, the modes you have, are the following. When you press the menu button, you get the following options. Music mode, recording mode, voice mode, navigation mode, settings, delete, about, and exit. Now, I'll take each of these in turn. Your music mode is your general, the one that plays your MP3 files. That's the one you use the most, and that's the one I recommend you make sure you stay on most of the time. Your record mode, that allows you to do exactly that, record. And I will do a demonstration of recording in a little while on this. Your voice mode is so you can play recorded files. So for instance, anything you record, you can play on that voice mode. Navigational mode, I would not recommend. It allows you to go through folders and allows you to browse through files, folders, and play them. I don't really see any use for that. And I don't think most visually impaired or blind people would. The settings menu has some options in there which you may need to adjust. One of the biggest ones I'll get to in a little while. I'll discuss the settings menu after I finish this off. The delete allows you to delete files. I would not do it that way personally, because I would use the, I just plug it into the USB connector, and then I'd just plug it into my laptop or PC and delete the files that way. It's much simpler and easier, and you have a screen reader, of course. The about gives you firmware information and stuff like that, and exit, of course, exits the menu. Now, I'm going to discuss the settings menu and try and remember this as best as I can. I'm not going to go into the submenus of the menus, I'm just going to give you an overall idea. Settings has the following options. Equalizer, which gives you like lots of, well, a few different equalizer sound settings. Repeat, you can adjust different repeat modes. Contrast, you can adjust the contrast of the screen. Backlight, you can adjust that. Power features, which allows you to alter power saving features. Recording, now that is the one of the most important settings to me. And that's record. Default, which defaults everything. And I think it has an exit as well, so you can come out of it. Although you can press stop to come out of menu options as well. Now the record setting is probably the one that's most important, because that allows you to change the sampling rate of the files that this device records. So that's the only setting, and you will need sighted assistance, unfortunately, to do that, because otherwise you can't read what it's doing, and it... Excuse me. Right. Now then. Time for the orientation of the device. Now, the device itself is like a rectangular shape with the corners cut away. So it's like a rounded rectangle, I'd describe, perhaps. Not an oval shape, really. Like a rounded rectangle. It's black in colour with a blue screen. For those of you who have some sight, you'll get an idea then. I'm going to give you an idea of the device itself. Now, I hold it so that the controls are on the right-hand side. The screen is in the middle, and the port is on the left. So that's how I'm going to orientate you to the device. Now, if I take you along the top side of the product face, not the facing side, the top side of the product, right on the top, I'll talk you through the buttons you get. We start from left to right. First you get menu down, then you get menu up, then you get your menu button. Now, to operate your menu button, you have to actually hold your finger down on there for a few seconds. Then you get your equalizer button, and I'll tell you a little bit about what I think about that in a little while. Now, as you go above that, just to the right of that, we're still going right, you get the headphone socket. Now, I'm going to go up, well, I'm going to go continue to go right, but this time my hand will go down towards the side of the unit itself, because obviously it curves round. And then you get your little connector for your neck strap. Now we're going to go around to the side again, go further around because there's nothing there, and we're at the bottom of the unit as I'm holding it, so the bottom side of the unit. And on here, you first get, I'm going from right to left, on here you first get your microphone. For some reason they put it in a weird place, and you go down from that and you get your hold switch. Then you continue going down and left until you get to a little part of this unit which comes apart, and I'll describe that in a minute. Now I'm going to discuss the top side when it's facing you, where the screen is. As I said before, I'm holding it so that it's horizontal to me. Really, you could hold it horizontal, vertical, however you like it. Right now I'm using the horizontal sort of position. Now, on the front face area, first you get your, on the left hand side, you get your, again, you get your little cover for the USB port, and as you go along you get your screen. As you go along from that, you get your controls. Now, they're shaped quite unusually. It's almost like a horseshoe shape, I suppose I can best describe it as. I don't know how many of you are familiar with horseshoe shapes, but it's like a, almost like an inverted print C. It's a weird curved shape. And you have four buttons on this horseshoe shape, and I'll describe it. The first button is your top left hand button, and that is your skip back button. That also works in menus to go through options. Then you get your play button as you go around to the next one, and the play button curves around, and then you follow it along, and then you get the next button, which is your bottom right hand button, and that is a right angle button as well. So is the play button. They're both right angle buttons for some reason. Anyways, that one is a stop button, and if you follow that one along, you get to this skip forwards button. So going from left to right, curving round, it's skip back, play, stop, and skip forwards. Now, on the back of the unit, it has a battery compartment with an arrow. I don't know if you can hear that. That is the arrow, which you can feel. Now, at the bottom, like I was describing to you before, is a little cover. Now, I've just removed the cover there. That cover will show you a USB port. Now, it does come with a small cable as well. It's quite a small cable, so you can connect it to your PC. But because I have a laptop, I just connect this directly to my laptop. It doesn't really make much difference, but it does come with a USB cable. And I just remembered that. I forgot to tell you all the stuff it came with. Oh, dear me. Okay, I'll tell you all the stuff it comes with. Do apologise. Right, I've lost the plot, if I've had it. Okay, there you go. I tried to do a professional podcast and you mess up. Yeah, anyways. So that's a USB port. And once you've removed the USB port, you can then remove the battery port. Now, the battery compartment. Now, I tried to do this myself, and what happened was, well, I tried to do it without removing the USB port, USB cover, and I couldn't do it. And I was thinking, why? It's because you have to remove that first, and then you can clip down the battery compartment and just pull it out. Now, this does actually come off completely, the battery compartment. And as whilst I'm on the subject of batteries, it takes one AAA battery, which has a playing time of up to between 8 and 10 hours, or so they say. So it has one of those. Now I'm just going to put this back in there. Just clip it back in, if it'll go. There we go. Now, the lock switch. I need to describe something about the lock switch. Now, the lock switch, again, I'm holding it so that the horseshoe or the controls are on the right-hand side of the player. If the lock switch is switched to the right, that means the lock is activated and your buttons will not work. If it's facing the left and you press your buttons, they will work. So, that's how the lock switch works. Now, I'll just cover this before I forget. The things you get with the unit are the unit itself, the headphones, which are weird headphones, like I was saying, the neck strap, a battery, a print manual, and a dinky little CD. Now, this confused me at first, because it looks like the kind of CDs that they create for kids' toys. And I was thinking, what on earth am I supposed to do with this? Do you need a special player for it? I put it into my CD player and it worked. So, you know, obviously they're trying to save the box size and everything else. And it does play in your CD player. And what you get on there are two demonstrations, video demonstrations, and the manual in PDA format, which you can convert to text. I know because I did that. And it worked. So that is what you get with the unit itself, which I forgot to do, and I do apologise. Right. Now then, what I've done is I've actually set up some PC speakers here just so I can demonstrate the recording quality. I'm not going to demonstrate the playing quality to you. Then having said that, it'll probably... I'm going to have to now demonstrate the playing quality because I turned it off. Now, because this thing doesn't bleep, you have to get used to the various modes. And in effect, basically, you do have to, like most of these MP3 players, they're not very accessible, but you can get around it. I have done, so it is doable, believe you me. It just takes a bit of practice. Even the menu settings can be done once you read the manual and go through it. It's tricky, though. It is tricky. Like I said, the most important settings for me was the repeat, changing that, and I also changed the recording settings from the sampling rate of 8 kHz to 32 kHz. Now, when you play the unit, there we go, that told me that it played, and then I quickly stopped it there. I'm not going to play anything on here apart from the recorded file, because really that doesn't give you an overall idea of how good the quality is. But I needed to play it to check to make sure it was on. Now, I'm going to hold down the menu button. Actually, I'm going to unplug this first. I'm going to hold down the menu button. And let go. Now I'm going to press my skip to next button. Now, at the moment, I'm in music mode. I knew that because when I pressed play, it played a file. I am now in music mode. So if I press the skip to next button, I am now highlighting record mode. And I'm going to record a file here. And I'm going to give you an overall idea of how it sounds. Okay, once you've highlighted the record, you hold down the menu button, then you highlight your record button, then you press either the menu button or play. And I'm going to do that now, and then when it's finished, I'll press stop. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, there you go. Now I'm going to play that back. Now once you've... Once you've done that and recorded, you can just play it back. You don't have to go into voice mode to play it back, which is a good feature.
Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, clear. There you go. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry,
I'm just going to adjust the volume.
Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, clear.
Now that it's actually looping around because I made it do that. That's the setting I made. But I don't know if you caught a good idea of the quality on that. But I will say this much: it's not bad. It's not as good as I would have wanted it to be, but it's not bad. And if you use it on its full settings, apparently you can record up to 2 hours. Obviously, I think disk space has a lot to do with that. It's not bad recording, I don't think. It's all right. It gets you by. Now I'm just going to hold down the menu button, and I'm going to press skip back, then I'm going to press the menu button again, just to go back into the music mode. Now, like I said, to turn the unit on, you hold down the play button. I'm going to play it now, because it's already on, of course. Now I'm going to stop it by doing the following. There you go. To stop it, you hold down the stop button. Now, the reason why I did that was because that is how I know the unit's off, and I just thought it's a good tip to have. You hold down the stop button, and whilst it's playing something, then you know for sure that it's stopped. And then you just turn the lock switch off. Now, it does actually stop itself after a certain amount of time. You can adjust the power settings for it to do that. If it's not doing anything, it'll shut itself off to save and conserve battery power. Okay, now I've demonstrated to you, I've gone through the technical specifications, I've demonstrated the recording functionality, I've orientated you to the device. Now I'm going to talk about the good points and the bad points about the unit. First of all, the good points. The unit itself is quite small. It does sit in the palm of your hand. It even sits in the palm of my hand almost completely, and I've got little hands. It's good. It does have a nice feel to it. It doesn't feel plasticky. It feels more rubbery to the touch. And I quite like that. I do quite like that. It's got a nice, simple weight. They haven't overcomplicated it with buttons. I'll get to that in a minute. A little thing of mine. I'll get to that when I come to the points I don't like about the unit. But it does, I mean, I have to say, I'm glad they put the manual in there as well, so you can read the manual. I think that was well done. And Igor or Ego, whatever they're called, either one of the two, you know, do deserve credit for doing that. Because at least then you can follow the manual and learn things about the unit, which is what I did. Obviously, with most units, accessibility is not taken into account. One day we'll live in a world where things like this are regarded as important, but there's a flying pig. Sorry, I'm being cynical again. Anyways, the thing is, it's not a bad unit. I mean, it does, you can easily copy stuff across. Like I said, I've never tried digital write files, DRM9s, but I know it does play them, and it does, like I said, suggest that you use Windows Media Player to transfer them onto that. You can use your folder, you can use your usual Explorer, like from the My Computer Explorer window thingy, and you can actually add, delete, remove files from it quite comfortably and easily. The recording quality is not bad, like I was saying, it's not bad, it's not brilliant. I wouldn't use it for podcasts, of course. But I was hoping that it was going to be slightly better. I think they could have made it a little bit better. Made it, you know, 44.1 kilohertz instead of 30. I mean, no, they don't need to move it that much higher, and they could have done that, I think. It does come across quite clearly. There is the buzzing in the background, the slight hissing, rather, in the background, which detracts. Now, when you're outside, with all the outside ambience, it doesn't sound quite as bad, and it does sound better when you're outside. But if you're in a room like this, if you're indoors, it does tend to show itself. It does the hissing, but it doesn't. It's not as prominent when you're outside, and I perhaps should have done an outside recording of it. But I didn't, so there. Anyways. It is a good unit. I mean, I have to say, for the price that I got it for, it's okay. I think you'd probably be able to find the unit in the States, and it might be cheap there as well. For 1 gigabyte, this unit, you can't really complain in most things. I mean, I'm not the biggest player of MP3 files anyways, and I wanted it to record. It'll be good for recording things like notes and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, for your own personal things, you can. It's like I haven't got a digital player yet, and I'm still hoping to get one. But it does do a recording job, and I've heard worse quality recordings, to be honest. I have heard worse. Like my tape recorder over there. Anyway, so it does do the job. Now, it's bad points. It has a few. Accessibility, I don't think you can. Well, I don't know. I mean, some people would say that you can't really regard that as a bad point because people don't take things like that into account, but I personally think they should, and that's a topic for another discussion. But it's not all that accessible. It is accessible enough, and I've done settings, I've even made a settings change, so you can do it. The real gripe I have with this unit is the recording facility. I think they should have done better with that. When I was orientating you to the device, I was talking about two small little rectangular buttons, and then I didn't describe them very well. I do apologise about that. Then there was a menu button, and then there was the equaliser button. I think that was a waste of a button, to be honest. I think that should have been the record button, personally. I don't know why you'd want to just keep changing equalisers on the fly. It's got a good A-B repeat facility, which I forgot to mention, actually. What you do is you press the menu, when you're playing a file, you press the menu button once, and then you press it again, and here, I'll demonstrate it whilst I'm here. I'll turn the unit back on. Okay. And any minute now, it'll play. Right, I'm going to press the menu button. And again. And there you go, A, B, repeat. And you just press the menu button again and it'll stop. Now that's a good little feature, I suppose. I just stopped it again. That's enough of that. So it does have a good repeat function, and that's not bad. I mean, you can make use of that, I guess, somehow. I haven't worked out how yet, but I suppose if you find funny parts in podcasts and things. Actually, when I said I didn't use it that much for, because I don't use MP3 files all that much, I use it for podcasts, and that I do like, because I can download a podcast and go wherever I want with it and listen to that podcast, and that I do like. And if the only use I get out of this unit is to listen to podcasts away from my computer, then that's fine. Like I said, the equalizer button should have been a record button, in my opinion. You cannot pause a recording either. So when you press record, you have to stop it with a stop button. Then what you have to do is, if you want to continue your recording, what it'll do is it'll create a new file when you do this. You hold down the menu button again, and then press menu again, and that will record, start recording again. When you hold down your menu button, it highlights the same option you were on last. So if you're on music mode, it'll be highlighting music mode. If you're on record mode, it'll be highlighting that. Voice mode, same thing. So you do have to keep a log. Now, I don't know whether that same thing applies for when you switch the unit off and back on again. I don't know whether it moves back to music mode. I'm not sure. But I think it's a wasted opportunity with the record facility. I think it could have been. With a unit this good quality and with this amount of disk space, or flash memory space, doesn't use a disk, of course, they could have done that. Any other real downsides? No, not really. I mean, I got it for a decent price. You can get it for a cheap price, and you pay for what you get, I suppose. And in that respect, it is a good unit. I'll give you the contact details for iGo, and I'll give you my own contact details in a minute. But that is really all there is to it. There's not all that much else I can tell you about the unit. Like I said, it does the job. And I do like the podcast. I like transferring podcasts onto it and going away, playing them, then coming back, deleting them, putting another podcast on there. And that is useful. And I do have some MP3s which I put on there, which is good. So it does do a job. It does play WMA, WAV. Only plays WAV when it's in voice mode. Otherwise it doesn't. Now then, what else can I tell you about the unit? That's about it, really. It's not a bad unit. I would recommend it to... It's one of the low-end MP3 players, and if you can't afford a more sophisticated, better, more accessible one, then you can do far worse than this one, it has to be said. Overall, they have done some good things with it, and it's not bad for what it does at all. So contact details: if you want to find out more about the iGo products, then go to www.aigo.co.uk. www.aigo.co.uk. And it's moderately accessible, is a website. It's quite small and not too... I think it does use flash though, so it might have some problems with it. I know some of the buttons didn't work too well with Windowise, because you get some buttons at the top, and I had to work out what they did. Whether it's accessible with JAWS or not, I don't know. It's not too bad once you've worked your way around the website. But it's not a bad product for what it does. It's an okay product. And if you wish to get a hold of me, tell me what a lot of rubbish this podcast is, and how, or any other hate mail or anything else, then you can do so via either the BCT chat list. Not chat list, sorry, the BCG chat room, which where I go quite frequently. I love that place. It's cool. Anyways, there is there, or you can email me directly, and my email address is rizstf at ntlworld.com, and that's RIZSTF at ntlworld.com, and that's how you can get in touch with me and berate me if you like, or it's up to you. And that just about does it for this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it was useful, and I will hopefully speak to you all on some more podcasts. My podcast is of course exclusive to BCT, so any next future podcasts will be coming straight that way, and I hope to speak to you all very soon. Ta-ta.